The last session was, the first session of the ninth commandment. The ninth commandment can be categorized into the two categories. One is a narrow meaning, the other is a broader meaning. In the last session, I was talking about the narrow meaning of the bearing false witness against your neighbor, which was in a court trial. You bear false witness. So witness, on the testimony depends one's life. And also, that is why perjury is such a grave sin. In the Bible, there were systems to prevent perjuries, but in reality, it's not possible to prevent all perjuries 100%. And probably that is why we should pray that there will be many wise and fair judges. And in this session, I will talk about the broader meaning of bearing false witness against your neighbor. This can be divided into three categories. The first is it is to prohibit all kinds of falsehood. The second is keeping quiet in the time, at the time when you need to speak the truth. And the third is there is a matter of white lie. Lie for, with a good purpose. And for the last two categories, I'll talk about in the next session. And in this session, I'm going to talk about all kinds of falsehood in six categories. Whether it is the word of God or word of men, first is, you add or subtract something, thereby making it a lie. In the Bible, the first liar is the enemy devil and Satan. This Satan instigated the serpent so that the man could break the covenant with God and fall. Genesis 2:16-17 says, "The Lord God commanded the men, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely.' The man, referring to Adam, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely.' Any tree of the garden, all tree of the garden you may eat. You may eat freely. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. You can eat all kinds of fruits, but one, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die.'" When Adam and Eve and mankind, they were living in the Garden of Eden, a long, long time had passed. But Satan was always trying to alienate man from God. So Satan instigated the serpent, to approach the woman. So as you read through the book of Genesis, there are many adding and omitting, and you can see how the woman was deceived. Genesis 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made." In a good sense, the serpent was wise. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" What kind of crooked question was that? God said, eat from any tree of the garden. And the serpent twisted the question and said, from the fruit of the trees of the garden, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Of course, this woman, she heard from her husband, Adam. But if she kept the word of God in mind, she would have refuted flat. But she said, from the tree of the trees of the garden we may eat. This any is missing. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. When did God say, or touch it? But she added, touch it. And, or you will die. You will die is quite different from you will surely die. So it means there was a bit of a doubt in the Word of God. Because Satan is very crafty. The serpent knew that the woman was falling into the deception. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. So now they were saying 100% opposite of God's word. You surely will not die. So now the serpent begins to deceive the woman. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the serpent is throwing the bait now that you'll be like God. Eve has been watching, seeing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for such a long time, but she has never wanted to eat from it. But now as she heard that she can be like God, when she accepted this thought, everything changed. The tree looked like nothing. She wasn't even interested. It was out of her attention, interest. But then, verse 6 says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life. So she had a desire that she could be like God. At the moment she accepted that desire, she began to have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And the next step, obviously, is to eat from it. She ate from the tree, and then she gave it to her husband too, and he also ate it without questioning it. Adding and omitting, and the devil was having this tactic to add and omit certain things. And when Eve was trapped, Satan began to openly deceive her, and she was deceived. So Adam and Eve, they had this desire, and it gave birth to sin. The greed gave birth to sin. And in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 to 18, it says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book.
So 권위 없다는 얘기하고도 통하는 것이죠. 그러니까 인간 사이의 말도 그렇고 하나님의 말씀도
so, 함부로 if there is any adding or omitting, God will take away that person's part from the tree of life and from the holy city. Secondly, senior pastor always, as he always explained, you pass judgment and condemnation on others according to your own standards. Because in fact, we do that very often. And in a broader sense, it is also a lie. But the problem is, you are doing it in your own thoughts, but you still believe you are right. That is the problem. It is called self-righteousness. And let me give you an example of how it is natural to judge others. There were two medical students. They were all top of the class. They were rivals, and they were also proud of themselves. And they were in the corridor in the medical school building, and there was a person coming toward them, twisting his body. And one of them, one of the medical students, he said, she is certainly having a rheumatoid arthritis. And the other one, the other medical student, said, what are you talking about? Of course, he has herniated disc. And that person was approaching them, and he was twisting his body, and he was and when he reached them, approached them, he asked, where is the bathroom? So it means man can be mistaken so much, so very well, so easily. So these medical students, they were passing judgment so easily on this person. In the Bible, we can find that the country was ruined because of misjudgment. The country is Ammon. In first, the king died, Nahash. The king Nahash was dead. And his son, Hanun, succeeded him. And they were enemies with Saul, but probably Nahash was nice to David. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 2 says, then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So because the new king succeeded the former, so David sent some of his servants to console him concerning his father. But then Hanun, the new king, made a misjudgment. 2 Samuel 10:3 says, the princes of the Ammonites said to Hanun, their lord, do you think that David is honoring your father because he has sent consolers to you? Has David not sent his servants to you in order to search the city to spy it out and overthrow it? They were consolers. They are consolers, but in fact, they are spies. They are spying it in the land out, and they are trying to overthrow it. And so, now the king has to make the judgment, the king Hanun. He had to be wise, and he had to really search into the matter, whether what they were saying is really true or not. But he didn't. He just accepted what the lords were saying. what the princes were saying. So what did they do? Verse 4 says, so Hanun took David's servants and shaved off half of their beards. As it is in the past and today, the beard of a man is like the pride of the man. Especially at that time in the Near East, the slaves, they couldn't have a beard. So it was also an expression of a sign that they were free men and not a slave. And they didn't shave it off, but they shaved off only half of their beards to put them to shame and cut off their garments in the middle as far as their hips and sent them away. And it's a long robe. And they cut off their garments in the middle as far as their hips. So the thigh would be exposed. The innerwear would be exposed. This is such a great shame. They really thought they were spies. That is why they put them into great shame. They cut the half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle so their lower body would be exposed. So they couldn't go to the king because they were put to such a great shame. So verse 5 says, when they told it to David, he sent to meet them. For the men were greatly humiliated. And the king said, stay at Jericho until your beards grow and then return. So for the beard to grow back again, it would take at least a couple of months. And probably the Ammonite king Hanun, probably he heard about it and he was afraid that there was going to be a war. Of course, at that time, David was such a great king. So Hanun, he knew that he couldn't beat David. So he united all the kings of Aram and he bought the soldiers, 33,000 men army. He bought the army of 33,000 men. So he had to spend a lot of money just for this purpose. And so he fought in a war, but of course he couldn't defeat David. They were lost. They were defeated. So making a misjudgment can be it can bring about very devastating result, even destruction of a country. So even though we don't make such great judgments in our everyday life, we make a lot of judgments. For example, because of your bad eyesight or because you are thinking of something else and you couldn't see somebody else approaching your acquaintance, but then the other person thinks you don't even greet him and they pass judgment on you. But the fact is I have bad eyesight. I wasn't wearing eyeglasses, but they make judgment. Or let me give you another example. One person, certain person is sick and he's in pain. He's suffering a lot. And you think he's faking it so much. I've had the same sickness, but he's faking the pain. It's not that painful, but the pain felt by each one is different, the magnitude of pain. And so this way we make a lot of we misunderstand a lot. We are misunderstood. And we think of the time when we are misunderstood, then we shouldn't pass any judgment. So Matthew 7:12 says, in everything therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7 verses 1 to 5 says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? And God is telling us, why must we not judge? Because we don't know 100%. Only God can make a clear judgment. Because God knows everything about us perfectly. And we don't. So, if we pass judgment and condemnation on people, it means we became the judge. James 4:11 says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. But there is only one judge, God himself. And if you judge, it means you are becoming God. That is why you cannot recklessly judge or condemn. And these are all lies in a broader sense. There is a question about who am I? So when I ask these questions, why wouldn't you try to answer who am I? I have strength and technique to make a fatal blow. I can defeat anybody without killing anybody. I destroy home, church, and nation. I can destroy the health of a very healthy man. I can destroy the life of a very brave man. I travel through the sea with wings. Even the pure is powerless before me. Even the just is powerless before me. I despise on the truth, justice, and love. I have sacrifices throughout the history and throughout the world. And I have more slaves than the grains of sand in all the beaches. I never forget and I never forgive. Who am I? So I'll just give you the answer. It is, I am slender. So what is slender? Slander, according to a dictionary, is a false and malicious statement or report about someone. So thereby causing damage or harm to others. So it causes a lot of damage and harm to others. I think I once talked about this, slander, how harming it is among the people. In the history of Korean history, once the government issued the prohibition, once the ordinance was ordered that any mission work to be ceased, because there was so much opposition against the missionary works. In Korea, there was a long time ago, in the 1800s, 19th century, there was a rumor going on that the missionaries were, at that time, the missionaries were building hospitals, building schools, and they were helping people and spreading the gospel. But then there was rumor that these foreign Western missionaries, they were eating the babies, they were plucking out the eyes of little babies. Of course, the behind Behind it was the enemy devil and Satan that incited people to spread such a rumor. And especially in the hospitals, they were saying that they were cutting out the heart and eyes and they were cooked as a savory food before the missionaries. Of course, today nobody would believe such a outrageous lie. But at that time, people really believed it. So the missionaries, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do any missionary work. And missionary Underwood, he recalled that he was living like on the top of a volcano at that time. And the fourth lie in our everyday life is flattery. What is flattery? It is to make somebody feel good with a crafty lie. Or you flatter somebody so much that they feel good about themselves. So Proverbs 28:23 says, "He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue." Flatterers, they can be loved for the moment, but later, of course, when the truth is revealed, these flatterers will have no ground to stand. In the ancient China, there was a famous minister. He served three kings as a minister. It means, it proves that he was good, he had good characters. So, he was innocent. And he would tell his household not to give him any more than one side dish. And he told them not to wear any silk clothes. So he was loved by the kings and he served three kings. And there was this certain king. He met with many ministers. So the ministers, they say a lot of things, this and that. So the king once put this particular minister, who was called An Yong. And so he asked him, who is faithful servant and who is a flatterer? There were two ministers who were saying similar things, and he asked him how to distinguish. Then the minister said, the one has to say, after hearing your words, without hurting your feelings, he has to make suggestions to fill it up, and he has to make suggestions to, if there is anything excessive, he has to make suggestions to bring it down. Those who say this, they are saying the right thing. They are giving you harmonious things. So the one who, but the one who said, who just agrees with you, who agrees with you, and for the things you disagree with, if they disagree too, then they are just flatterers. So why do people flatter others? There is a reason. The first, they want to get some privilege. They want to get some benefit out of those people. Secondly, they think they owe these people something, so they want to pay it back. So that is why they just flatter them. And third, they want to give them some honor, let them feel honored. Then the fourth case is an evil case. They want to put them in a trap. And with that kind of intention, they may flatter. So the higher your position is, you have to discern between who is really flattering and who is giving you faithful advice. So Proverbs 29:5 says, a man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Because if you listen to flattery, you will lose the sense of judgment. And especially the leaders, they have to distinguish, discern between who are flatterers and who are not. In the Aesop's tales, there is a crow. He found a piece of cheese, and he wanted to take it all by himself, and he put it in his mouth, and he went to a deep forest. And at the moment, there was this fox passing by, and he smelled it too. So he wanted to take it from the crow. And he said, Oh, Your Honor, you are such a beautiful animal. Crow is beautiful? Of course not, but he was flattering. I didn't know you had such beauty. And I believe your voice is also so beautiful. Then you'd be the king of the crows. And wouldn't you sing a song for me? And he didn't know why the fox was trying to make him open his mouth. The moment he opened his mouth, the cheese fell, and fox ate the cheese and disappeared. And such a story doesn't only exist in Aesop's stories, but also in the Bible. In Acts chapter 12, we can read about Herod Agrippa the First. And because he was one of the 10, he had to rule over the people. He wanted to live, be loved by the people, but he was an Edomite. So people didn't love him so much. So he wanted to gain the heart of the people. And his solution was persecuting believers in Jesus. So he killed James, one of the 12. And people liked it. So he thought he could do it. He wanted to do it again. So he arrested Peter. But at the time, there was the festivity. So they couldn't, for 1 week, they couldn't kill a man. So he put Peter in jail, and he thought he was going to kill him after the festivities was over. And then outside, the believers were praying. For God, it was not time to take Peter yet. So God sent his angel, and the angel woke him up, or woke up Peter. There were two guards guarding Peter, on either side of Peter. So because Peter was once released by angels, Herod put two guards on either side of Peter. And also there were two more guards. And I can't really understand Peter, that he was sleeping so deeply that why would, so angel would have to wake him up. So he passed all the gates and everything. So he went to Mark's house, and he testified about how he escaped. And from Acts chapter 12, Peter is forever gone from the Bible. And after that happened, what did Herod do? He, of course, he inquired of the situation, and it was such an amazing thing. And he held these guards responsible. So just he killed all those four men. And as if nothing happened, he killed James, and he wanted to kill Peter but failed. And he killed four guards. And maybe he should have had some pangs of conscience, but he just went to Caesarea, where there was a festival going on. And the Bible says in Acts 12:20, now he was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Why was he angry? We don't know. And with one accord, they came to him, and having won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain. Tyre is a port city. They were making trades, and they got their food from Israel, Judah. And Herod just cut off the supply of food to Tyre. So they were asking for peace because their country was fed by the king's country. So they had won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain. So they went to Blastus to talk to him, so that he could talk to the king. And verse 21 says, on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. And this was the day, birthday of the Roman Empire. So he had to pledge loyalty. So verse 21, on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. And the people kept crying out, the voice of a god and not of a man. They were, so they, because they wanted to get the food, they brought some people to unconditionally cheer him, and to praise him. So they were saying the voice of a god and not of a man. And what should Agrippa have had to do? He should have, I'm a man and I'm not a god, but he just took the glory. And 23, verse 23, and immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. He killed James, he tried to kill Peter, he killed four guards, and at his discretion, he just cut off the food supply to Tyre, and he didn't care if those people were starving to death. But God sent an angel, and he was eaten by worms and died. According to Josephus, he died in 5 days. Herod died in 5 days. On the birthday of the Roman Emperor, this Herod put on his royal apparel, and in the morning he stood in the Colosseum. Because there were silver threads, it was shining in the sunlight, by the sunlight. And because the people of Tyre, they had to get the food from him. That is why they were cheering him, praising him, saying the voice of God and not of a man. At the moment, he took the glory. According to Jewish tradition, an owl is a sign of, is like an omen. And Herod Agrippa saw the owl, and the moment he saw the owl, he fell. And he died in 5 days. And you may not even notice when you're flattering others. So that is why we have to be careful. Because we want to get something from them. And also, the leaders, they have to be able to discern between whether something is flattery or not. And the fifth is excuses. Senior Pastor explained about it many times. When there is something, if you give an excuse, it means you don't want to take the responsibility. You're putting the blame on others. Oh, that person did this, and that is why this happened. And giving excuses is means you are putting the blame on others. You have to take the responsibility so that you try to solve the problem. But if you put the blame on others, you can't solve the problem. You are stuck in the problem. Because you won't find a way out. Because you think it's not your responsibility. If you accept the responsibility, you will try to solve the problem yourself so that you can get wisdom and strength. But because if you don't do that, you become lazy and eventually you will fail. There is a saying in a certain military school, the students can say only four things. Yes, no, I don't know. And there is no excuse. So this fourth answer is very important. Because if the soldiers, especially the officers, if they don't take the responsibility, it's going to be a big problem. So if there is no excuse, it is your responsibility. So you have to solve the problem yourself. So if you are a Christian, you will have to pray about it. You can consult. They have to consult others and they have to solve the problem themselves so that they can wisdom and understanding. And also in the Bible, we can find the giving excuses. When Moses went to the mountain for 40 days to receive the Ten Commandments, the people, they weren't patient. Of course, they had an encounter with God, but they were slaves for more than 400 years. And it was their habit, old habit, that to worship idols. And they didn't see Moses any longer. And because Moses wasn't there for them, they asked Aaron. Aaron was in charge now when Moses was away. And Aaron should have said, Aaron should have told him that it was wrong. It was wrong idea. And probably Aaron just told them to bring the gold pieces and other things, so they made a golden calf. And as they made this golden calf, they were saying it was the Lord God who led us out of Egypt. And when Moses came down, God told him what was going on down the mountain. And Moses pleaded with God so that he wouldn't destroy them all. And then he stopped it. He stopped God from destroying them all. And then when he came down, he asked Aaron what happened. And Aaron was giving excuses. You know how evil they are. It is not my fault. Because the people are so evil. I had to allow them. So he put the blame on the people. And if you give excuses, you will create lies. And Aaron said, and they brought gold pieces and I put them in the fire and it became this calf. It's like saying, I went to some junkyard and I put some metal scraps into a fire and some kind of computer came out. And so Aaron was telling this lie. And the book of Exodus doesn't say talk about God's response to this lie of Aaron. But in the book of Deuteronomy, we can find something. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Verse 19, for I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was wrathful against you in order to destroy you, but the Lord listened to me that time also. So God said, I will destroy them all and I will make you Moses. I'll make a nation out of you, Moses. But Moses stopped God by interceding. And verse 20 says, the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. So I also prayed for Aaron at the same time. Moses interceded for Aaron. And through Moses' intercession, God did not destroy Aaron. So God is full of grace. He's full of mercy. So God still took Aaron and appointed him as the chief priest. And it is thanks to Moses' intercession. And those who give excuses, they don't want to take the responsibility. So they become weak because they don't take any responsibilities. They don't get any more wisdom, right? They don't get any more understanding. Only thing that increases is their evil wisdom and lies and excuses, giving excuses. And also there are trivial lies. In everyday life, there was a research that says everybody lies more than 200 times a day. They lie like nothing, like it is nothing, and they don't even know they are lying. So if they are told they lied 200 times, they don't know. So probably they don't have any evil intention, but they just tell a lot of lies. And senior pastor was giving some examples. Suppose you are having a meal together and other people, they ate a lot, and you say, he ate it all. There's nothing left. In fact, there's some left, but you exaggerate. And these things, you don't think they are lies. And for some things, a couple of people gather and talk about it, and they say, everybody agreed. I experienced this a lot, even when I was the president of Seoul Women's University. Old students, all alumni council. Which alumni? Which student? You know, it's not specified. So these things are lies. And God doesn't want us to tell trivial lies, because there's like the saying in Korea, a needle thief becomes a cow thief. If you allow small things, it can become very big. And many people nowadays, especially nowadays, they don't feel any pangs of conscience about trivial lies. But if these things are gathered together, they are stored up, they are accumulated again and again, and it'll be a big problem. Even these little snowflakes, when they are gathered, when they are piled up upon each other, even big trees will break. When I went to Gangwon-do area, Gangwon-do province, these little snowflakes, they are nothing by themselves. But when they are gathered, when they are accumulated on top of the tree, these big tree branches are broken because of the snow. So you know about this boy very well about this. So he was herding the sheep and he felt it as boring, so he cried out, there's a wolf. People came and it was nothing. And he thought it was fun. Every time he was bored, he cried out for wolf. And because the people knew he was telling a lie. But this time, unfortunately, a real wolf came and he was crying out, but nobody came to help. So these little trivial lies might even put one's life in danger. So we must not tell even these little lies. There was an incident in India. There was a boy, Indian boy, called Singh. He was 17. He, without anything, he just told his friend, there was an exam held by NASA of the United States, and I got the first place. And it was such an amazing news that it spread. It went viral. Of course, this boy didn't think it was going to be viral. And the newspapers began to report it. And there was this donation coming in from so many people. And the president said that he was going to meet him. And there was this TV, local TV, making a documentary. And as they were making this, his lie was being revealed. He went to the United Kingdom to take the exam, but and he said he took Air India, and there was no flight to United Kingdom. The Air India didn't have this line. And also NASA denied, you know, they don't hold, they don't give out that kind of exam at all. So this little boy, he just wanted to say something nice about him, and it was exaggerated so much, and it went viral, and his life was kind of ruined. And it actually happened in India. And in the 2 Samuel chapter 1, we read about this Amalekite boy who told a lie about killing Saul. For his own benefit, he told a lie that he killed Saul. He was expecting reward. But actually, through his lie, he was put to death. David said, "How were you not afraid to raise your hand and kill the anointed one of God?" So he was killed. So the boy was put to death. So this lie, in any case, you must not lie. That's what I would like to ask you. As long as we have sinful natures, these lies come out naturally, automatically. But if we try to get rid of sinful natures from our heart, and if our heart is filled with the truth, then from the truth will only come out truth. So that is why we have to become sanctified and holy, and that is why we have to cast away sinful natures and fill ourselves with love and goodness. That's what the senior pastor has been advising us, teaching us all the time. And today I talked about the lies in broader sense, adding and omitting, and passing judgment and condemnation, and slander, flattery, and giving excuses, and trivial lies. And all these lies, let us remember all these lies, and let us try to get rid of them. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bones of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.